Well, last week, I shared a message with you that Jesus is the way from John chapter 14 and verse 6. We're going to go back there again. John 14 and 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the truth. It is who he is. He is truth personified. And to come to the Father, you have to go through the truth that is Jesus. There's not any other way. Jesus said in John 17 and 3, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." You see, in this world we live in, there's a whole lot of different versions of who God is. Not just of other religions, but even within Christianity. In fact, it's quite the popular thing in our culture that you just make up your own version of who God is. Even if you're a Christian, you just make up your own version. You know, whatever works for you. But you can only know the one true God from the Scripture, through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one true God. There's not a whole bunch of different ones. There's not a bunch of different versions. And if you want to know him, you have to get to know him in truth. Amen. The only true God. Deuteronomy 32 and 4, it tells us that he is a God of truth. That's his MO. That's the way that he operates. He always operates through truth. He can't act any other way. You know, it's an amazing thing. We know with God all things are possible. But did you know there's one thing that is impossible for God to do? That's right. Hebrews 6:18 says it is impossible for God to lie. He's a God of truth. He just can't lie. I have heard Christians before. I mean, you know, when you get old, one advantage or curse to that is that you've seen or heard just about everything. And I have heard people actually say, "God lied to me." They were so sure that they had heard from God about something that then when it didn't happen the way that they thought that it should, they said, "God lied to me." How sad that a person would feel that way and become so deceived. But you know what is even sadder to me is that they would rather cast a shadow on the character of God rather than to admit that they missed God. God has never lied to anybody. He cannot lie. He just can't do it. It is not in his person. Truth is in his person. Amen. Romans 3:4 says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." He cannot lie. Titus 1:2, "God who cannot lie." He cannot lie. Now, that's hard for us to grasp because, hello, we can. It's not impossible for us. No, in fact, most of us, we learned to do it when we were still little bitty. Did you dump these Cheerios all over the floor? No. And so it's hard for us to really get this and understand that we're serving a God who always speaks truth. He cannot lie. Jesus says in John 17:17, in his prayer to the Father, he says, "Your word is truth." He is the source of truth. And when he speaks, it is truth. He created the worlds by the words of his mouth. Think about this. There was nothing there, and he said, "Let it be," and it was. You see, whatever he says is. So he can't lie, because if he speaks it, it is. That is the power of his word. It is always truth. Even when he says something that we don't see in the natural, oh, and this will help you with the promises of God, Even when he says something that you don't see in the natural, it is. It is truth. You see, he calls those things that are not as though they were. When he calls Abram, Abraham, the father of many nations, Abram didn't have even one child, much less was he the father of many nations. He didn't even have one. But it was true. When God speaks it, it's so. It's true. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You see, everything that he has ever spoken is true. Everything will be just as he said. Every prophecy is fulfilled. It's amazing when you read the scripture how many prophecies have already been fulfilled, but every prophecy will be fulfilled. His word has proven to be true again and again and again. And now, and I just got to tell you, I don't need any worldly evidence to get me to believe the word of God. But now, archaeology is proving again and again the historical account of the Bible, again and again, and not just evidence of facts, but evidence of the miracles. That found the city of Sodom, and they find all these ashes that it was burned, and they find the city of Jericho, and how the walls had crumbled down. Again and again, the word of God proves to be true. It is truth, Jesus said. And oh, how we need to hold on to the word of God and always live our lives according to the word of God, that we don't get caught up in the deceptions that are so prevalent in our world. It's hard for us to really grasp a God who never, ever lies, but always speaks truth. Do you know that in our culture, surveys show that the majority of people, they own this now. They owned up to it in surveys. The majority of people lie every single day. Every single day. Now, some of you are thinking right now, oh, I would never. And yet there are little things that you pass off in your life that aren't really true. They lie every single, they'll lie to their teacher. They'll lie to their parents. Sometimes parents lie to their kids, right? Oh, we got a good reason. They lie to their spouse. They lie to their boss. Listen, some of this, it's even just an accepted practice. I'm not feeling too good today. I'm going to be out on the golf course. It is so much a part of our culture. And we need to understand that it matters. You see, our God is a God of truth, and our faith in Him is so vital and so important. And when we allow this philosophy of the world that lying is no big deal, when we allow that into our lives, we end up being deceived. We end up being bound. No, we got to walk in truth and live in truth all the time. It's amazing how it has become, lying has become an acceptable practice in politics. Now, it's not a new thing, necessarily. I still remember when Richard Nixon admitted that he lied. But now, if a politician lies, it's like no big deal. People are just okay with that. And it is just a sign of the time, of the culture we're living in, where deception and delusion, lying, has so pervaded our culture that people just say, well, they lied, that's okay. We don't care. Y'all really quiet right now. Preacher talking about politics. Listen, I'm talking about telling the truth. I'm talking about us getting to the place where we just accept lies and deception in our world and in our life. There was a time when our government and leaders were known for their honesty. You know, I don't know if it's really a true story, if it's just kind of one of those legends, you know, but they say that when George Washington chopped down the cherry tree and his dad asked him about it, he was honest about it. George Washington was known for being honest. There's a story about a farmer. He's questioning his sons about who pushed the outhouse over into the creek. And none of them would own up to it. And so he told them, he said, well, you know, when George Washington chopped down the cherry tree, daddy asked him about it, and he admitted he did it, and his daddy was real proud of him for being honest and telling the truth. And so, being encouraged by that story, one of them spoke up and he said, Dad, I pushed the outhouse into the creek. And his dad got him a switch. He's going to whoop him good. And the boy said, but Dad, you said George Washington's dad was proud when he told the truth. He said, yeah, but George Washington's dad wasn't in the cherry tree when he cut it down. Yeah. But I'm just telling you, we used to hold the truth in such high value. That was one of the main things that we looked for in a leader. And now it's no longer about that. The most popular president, considered to be the best president in the United States history, is Abraham Lincoln. Surveys again and again choose him as the most honored, the most respected president in our history. And what was he known for? He had a nickname, Honest Abe. That actually was his nickname. Now, he didn't get that nickname when he became president. He got that nickname when he was a lawyer, as an attorney. People thought of him as being so honest, they called him Honest Abe. I don't know how we've accepted so much lies and deception in our world, but it's just become so much a part of our culture. Everybody just kind of, you know, whatever you want to believe, we got our own version of the truth. Abraham Lincoln was talking to a man one day, trying to convince him of something, and finally, Abraham Lincoln said to the man, he says, now, how many legs does a cow have? The man said, four. He says, well, let's just say that the tail is also a leg. Now, how many legs does a cow have? The man said, five. Abraham Lincoln said, no. Just because you call the tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. Do we need to hear that kind of plain common sense in our culture today? Just because you say something doesn't make it so. And it doesn't matter how many times you say it and how many other people you get to say it. It doesn't change the truth. Yeah. Truth is truth. Yeah, right. I'm just kind of a dumb old country boy, but 2 + 2 = 4. And you can say it's 3¾ or it's 4½. You say, well, 2 + 2, maybe it's 2/2. That would be 3. It is amazing the garbage people come up with to not believe the truth. Oh, how we need the truth of God's word, and we need to learn to speak it and live by it every day in our life. It is just, this lying is so much a part of culture and doing business. It's an accepted, expected practice. I mean, you got to be careful doing business with people because you never know when somebody's lying to you, trying to get the best of you, trying to take advantage of you. Lady goes into the butcher shop. She shops there all the time. She knows the butcher. She says, hey, I need a roasting chicken. I'm having some people over. He gets the last chicken that he's got, plops it up on the scale. He says, it's 2.4 pounds. Is that going to be all right? She said, no, I need something bigger. He takes the chicken back into the back in the freezer and walks right back out with the same chicken and puts it on the scale. And he says, this one's 3 pounds. How about that? She said, I don't think that's enough either. I'll just take them both. But we all know in this world, a lot of times it doesn't work out just like that, does it? No, there's so much deception, so much leaving the truth aside, doing away with truth. Jesus is the truth. And we want to know God in truth. And I'm telling you, you got to walk in truth. So many in this world, their word no longer means anything. In fact, sometimes you can have a contract on something and it doesn't really mean much. In 2011, we sold the house ourselves, and we probably sold it too cheap. That's one of the things that happens sometimes when you sell it yourself. You end up selling it too cheap. But anyway, I put it on the market, and within 2 weeks, we had three people look at it. They all wanted it. And one of the men, though, he talked to me, and we agreed on a price, and we shook hands. I didn't have a contract. I had a handshake. You know, we just agreed on a price. Another man came back, and he says, look, I'll pay you more than whatever they've offered you. I'm going to pay you more money. Man, that sounds good, more money. Well, I don't have a contract. But I told the man, I said, I can't do it. Unless the other deal falls through, I got to sell it to this guy for what I agreed to do. I'm not patting myself on the back here. I'm just trying to say to you that we need to stand by our word. We need to be people of our word. And whatever we say, it means to mean what we say. Amen. We can't be like this world. Jesus says, let your yes be yes, your no be no. Matthew 5:37. Whatever is more than these is from the evil one. See, here's how it kind of goes with the world. We say it, and then if we really mean it, we say, I give you my word. And then if it's some, like, we're almost for sure telling you the truth, we say, I promise. And then if we're really, really telling you the truth, we'll say, I swear. We got all these varying degrees of truth. No, it's enough to just say yes or no. And that's the end of it. That's the way we're supposed to be. Because when we allow lying in our life, listen to me, it is a breach in our spirit, and it opens the door for the enemy to take advantage of us. A lot of people think lying is just no big deal. But I'm telling you that Satan is the one that uses lies and deceptions to mess people up. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. We need to do whatever it takes to get real truth. Jesus said the word is truth. Here's the source for truth. Do whatever it takes to get real truth from the Word of God. And then he says, and do not sell it. You got to hang on to truth. You got to cherish it, because the truth is both the preventative and the cure for deception. It'll keep you free. It'll keep you living in victory. Because Satan is always trying to use lies and deceptions to lead people away from the truth, to lead people away from really being able to believe God. You see, it is through lies and deceptions that Satan keeps people from coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. How that happened? Because they believed lies. He blinded their minds, and so they don't believe. And you know what? Even with believers, a lot of the time, the reason they struggle with their faith, or they struggle with believing God for the promises to be true in their life, is because they've believed some deception, some lie. And a lot of the time, the reason destruction comes in people's lives is because they've believed some lie. It is one of Satan's primary weapons. John 8:44, Jesus says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Lies and deception, they are the tools of Satan. He's the father. He's the master deceiver. Listen, when we are lying, we are participating in his efforts. We need to always walk in truth. We need to be like our Lord Jesus and always walk in the light, always walk in truth. You know, a lot of the time, Satan's deceptions contain partial truth. Because Satan knows, especially when you're dealing with believers, the best way to deceive a church-going believer, a Bible-reading believer, is to use a little scripture. Pull a verse from context, or maybe just a phrase. And it's amazing how many teachers of the day do this, and people accept it as truth when it's not, when it's deception. But Satan tempted Jesus. We took him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and he told Jesus to cast himself down, and he quotes the scripture to Jesus, and listen to me now, he didn't change it, he quoted it right. Satan knows the scripture better than you do. He quoted it right, and he said, cast yourself down from here, for it is written, his angels will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But he had pulled it out of context. He wasn't just using the scripture, he was abusing the scripture, and people do that every day. And Jesus knew the whole truth. And he said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. As he knew that to intentionally put himself in harm's way would be tempting the Lord. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. How often Satan uses that same kind of tactic with believers to get them off from the truth, to get their lives headed the wrong way, to get them deceived and messed up in some way. You can't just pull a verse from here and there and a phrase from here and there. I love those God's Promises books, but you need the whole thing. Here's what Psalm 119 verse 160 says, the entirety of your word is truth. The whole thing? The whole thing, really, preacher? The whole thing. The whole thing. I mean, some of you, you buy some expensive electronic thing, and if you really want to use it, you're going to have to read some instructions. How much more do we need to read the instruction manual for life, the instruction manual for finances, the instruction manual for raising children, the instruction manual for how to be married? I'm just telling you, there's truth in this book that will set you free. It'll put you over, get you free from all the lies and deceptions. You know why people's lives are so messed up? They got messed up thinking. And you know what? There's a cure for that. It's the Word of God. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. That's what the Bible says. I believe that with all my heart. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Let me tell you how people will pull that out of context and abuse it. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. God wants me to be happy. I'm not happy with my spouse. I'm going to get me a new one. God wants me to be happy. Wow, did you see that car? I would be happy if I had a car like that. I'm going to get me a car like that because God wants me to be happy. You can justify just about anything with that verse when you use it that way. You know what? God does want us to be happy. But happiness doesn't come from trading spouses, and it doesn't come from buying a new car. Happiness comes when the Lord is your God. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. That's where happiness is. It's not in stuff. It's not as an excuse for you to do whatever you want and say, God wants me to be happy. That's a lie from the pit of hell when it's used that way. And that kind of theology, that kind of deception is happening all the time. We need to hold to the truth. Jesus is the truth. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's not what we want to hear. Sometimes we'd rather believe we're right. Sometimes we'd rather stick with our tradition, or we'd rather just go with the flow. You know, a lot of the time people treat truth cafeteria style. You know, you go through the cafeteria and you pick what you want. You say, well, I like that and I like that. I don't want that. I don't want that. You know what? I want some of that love and some of that mercy. And you know what? I want some of that prosperity. Amen. Give me some of that, brother. But hey, I don't want any of that holiness. I don't need that stuff. Lordship, what is that? I don't want no gross. I don't want that stuff. And we just pick and choose what we like and what we don't. And they treat the word of God that way. You know, every preacher is different. I use so much scripture because I know it doesn't really matter what my opinion is. It's the only thing that matters is what his opinion is. And I also know that if I don't back it up with scripture, that it's too easy for people to just say, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. But here's the truth. Even when I use scripture, the enemy will whisper in people's ear and say, oh, well, that's not right. That's not what we believe. You need to know the word of God. You need to read it for yourself. You need to know the whole word of God, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Because when you really know the truth, then you know when something's not right. And this, listen, I'm talking about even in church, you need to know what's right. You need to know the truth. But especially out in this world, you need to know the truth so that you are not easily deceived, that you're walking in God's truth every day. The enemy will always try to use lies and deception to mess you up. We need to know God's word. And some people today act like truth is relative, like it just changes from day to day, depending upon your situation. You know what? That's not really anything new. Pilate said to Jesus, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, I'm in John 18:37-38. Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? First of all, I want you to notice here, he says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. You know, one of the reasons that people have such a hard time hearing the voice of God, a lot of times it's because they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. I mean, you're asking God about some detail, some specific in your life, and while there's disobedience in your life, and so you pray, and God's trying to talk to you about your disobedience, but you don't hear anything. Right. It's called selective hearing. I mean, every parent that has kids, teenagers especially, you know what I'm talking about when I say selective hearing. I mean, some of you wives know about it with your husband, right? You say something, they only hear what they want to hear, right? Okay. Somebody take the trash out? Crickets. Anybody want fresh baked cookies? Here they come. Selective hearing. And that's the way we are with the Lord. Sometimes when it's not what we want to hear, we just don't hear. But then Pilate says to him, what is truth? And oh, that is such a common thing in our culture, where people constantly question truth, and everybody's got their own version of truth. I mean, there's my truth, and there's your truth, and there's their truth. It's whatever's right for you is right for you, and whatever you want to believe, that's, you know, there's truth. His name is Jesus, and you find truth in the Word of God, which, by the way, is also Jesus, John 1 and 1 and John 1 and 14. It's in the Word of God. That's how you find truth. That's how you know what truth is. Amen. This culture acts like truth is this fluid thing. You know, it's constantly changing. It's one size doesn't fit all. You know, there's how whatever it is to you, and how truth changes from generation to generation. Truth doesn't change. I'm not talking about clothing styles or music styles. I'm talking about truth. Truth doesn't change. And I hear this all the time where people say, oh, we're not changing the message. We're just changing the method. But so often they do change the message. If you go back and you listen to sermons from 40 years ago, they don't sound nothing like what a lot of the stuff that's being preached today is. Truth doesn't change. Well, who's to say what's right and wrong? God. Well, how do you know what God says? His word. Psalm 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. It doesn't change. It endures forever. This attack of deception and lies, we need to realize what's going on. We need to realize how it undermines faith, how it weakens people's faith in God. Binds people up. Satan, the father of lies. He's always working against truth. He's working against what God wants to do. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 says this. There's six things the Lord hates. Did you know the Lord hates? There are things that God hates. I don't want to do something that God hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. He hates the lying tongue. Oh, how it displeases him. God doesn't think that lying is a little sin. Little white lies. He doesn't view it as harmless. It's amazing how in the body of Christ, somehow, most people just kind of give lying a pass, like it's not that big a deal. Lying is going against the truth. Jesus is the truth. God detests lying so much. Listen to what Revelation 21 and verse 8 says. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there he tells us where they spend eternity, in the lake which burns with fire. When I was a youth pastor, I used to say, if you lie, you fry. If you fake, you bake in the lake. Okay. Stuff that youth pastors get to do. But here's the thing. Liars are listed in there with the worst of the worst, with the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, he says. It is not a little thing to God. We need to realize how it undermines, how it opens the door for our enemy to bring garbage into our life, how it brings bondage. But the truth sets free. John 8, 31 through 33, Jesus said to those who believed, those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, stay in the word, stay in the word, stay in the word. You are my disciples indeed, not pretend, real disciples. Stay in the word. And you shall know the truth. How do you know the truth? You stay in the word. And the truth will make you free. I hear people say, oh, well, tell the truth. The truth will make you free. That's not what it's talking about. Well, yeah, you ought to tell the truth, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the truth of God's word. When you know the truth, it'll make you free. So many people are bound up. They're losing in some area of life. And the issue is that they need the truth. They've been deceived in some way. They're not walking in truth. They need the truth. Is when you know the truth. How do you get that? If you abide in my word, if you stay in my word, King James says, if you continue in my word, you got to stay in the word of God. Truth sets free. Truth protects. It is the first part of the armor of God. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. If you're going to fight against the enemy, you got to have the truth. You know what? The only way that you can defend yourself from all of the false religion, false doctrines in this world is the truth of God's word. Now listen, you don't have to know all of the teachings of other religions to defend yourself from those falsehoods. Now, if you're going to witness to those people, it certainly helps if you know where they're coming from and what they believe. But for yourself to personally protect yourself, you just need to know the truth of God's word. Because if it doesn't line up with this book, you know it's wrong. Listen, when the Treasury Department trains new employees to identify counterfeit bills, they don't show them a bunch of counterfeit bills. They just show them real bills and show them what the real bills, what the earmarks are, what you're supposed to look for in a real bill. Because when you know what the real one looks like, you know when you see a fake one. That's why we have to know the truth of God's word. And truth sanctifies. Jesus said it in John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It'll show us what needs to change in our life. It'll show us who we're supposed to be. So I challenge you today to make a commitment to the truth, to love the truth. Listen, when people don't love the truth, they always end up believing a lie. Seek the truth in His word. Seek the truth from the Spirit of truth. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would guide us into truth. Because I'm going to tell you, you can study the Bible and read the Bible and still come away with deception. All kinds of false doctrines are brought out of the Scripture. But when we pray and we ask the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to guide us, He shows us truth in the Word of God that we can live out in our life. Speak the truth. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head. Speak the truth in love. When we speak the truth, it needs to be with this motive, love. I want to tell you that a lot of the time, we just need to keep our mouths shut. Proverbs says, where there's many words, sin is not absent. Some people think if Samson would have just lied again, that everything would have been okay. No, Samson shouldn't have told that woman anything. He should have kept his mouth shut. Well, he shouldn't have been there to start with. Moving on, we just keep going there. But here's the point. A lot of the time, you just need to keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. But when you are going to speak, you speak the truth in love. You find a way to speak the truth in love. Any of you men ever seen an ugly baby? Oh, come on, your wife don't care. Raise your hand. She'll be on you in the car. I didn't ask the ladies because I know none of y'all ever seen an ugly baby. I have. I have figured out how to speak the truth in love. He looks just like his daddy. No, that's really bad. Speak the truth in love. It has to do. See, there's this attitude. You can do the devil's work thinking you're being real spiritual. You can speak the truth. You can say what the Scripture says, but do it with an ugly attitude in your heart, and you just hurt and wound people unnecessarily. I'm well aware that when you speak the Scripture, a lot of the time it is going to upset people. and people are going to be offended. I'm well aware, believe me. But it has to do with the motivation of our heart. Are we trying to help? Are we trying to heal and build up? Or are we trying to tear down? Are we trying to prove they're wrong and tell them how it is? No, we speak the truth, but we speak it in love all the time. He, our Heavenly Father, He delights when we tell the truth. Proverbs 12 and 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Well, it makes Him happy when we tell the truth, when we speak the truth. And then we walk in truth. Psalm 86 and 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. We have to live it out in our life. We can't just talk the talk. We got to walk the walk. And I want to tell you something. If you're not walking in truth, you're not walking what you profess, what you claim to believe, sooner or later, lies are going to come out of your mouth. You got to live it out. You got to walk in it. And it pleases our Father. Here's what 3 John verse 4 says. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So I challenge you today to love the truth, to seek the truth, to speak the truth, to walk in the truth, because Jesus is the truth. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray, I'd like for a prayer partners.